from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
On today's episode, a youth rock group performs an original song, and two Montour High School students talk about life in the Caribbean. But first, middle school students Tenaria and Miracle talk about their Black History Month research on civil rights activist Ruby Bridges with Aliquippa Mayor Dwan Walker as part of a program called Aliquippa Impact.
Hi, my name is Tenaria Ruff.
Hi, my name is Miracle Moreland.
I'm 15 years old.
And I'm 12 years old.
And I'm a part of Aliquippa Impact in celebration of Black History Month at the B.F. Jones Memorial Library. My group profiled Ruby Bridges.
Ruby Bridges was born in 1954 at Tylertown, Mississippi.
Ruby attended an African-American school in kindergarten. She passed an exam to get into an all-white school, and the exam was designed to make African-American students fail.
And in first grade, Ruby was the only person in her class.
It wasn't easy for her to go to school because people yelled at her and threw things at her and would call her names.
November 14, 1960, Ruby Bridges became the first African-American child to integrate a Southern elementary school.
While we profiled Ruby Bridges, the questions were asked, how did she make an impact on Black history? She paved the way for more children to attend better school. We also asked what we liked about Ruby.
She fights for what she wants.
We didn't like that she had to be alone in the classroom.
She had to have police protect her at only 6 years old.
Ruby had courage, she was brave, she was an activist, and she was a speaker. Now I would like to welcome local Aliquippa community member, Mayor Walker, to discuss our project.
Hello ladies, how y'all doing? Thank you for the invitation. Thank you to the B.F. Jones Memorial Library. Sitting back listening to you talk about your project about Ruby Bridges is amazing, because I don't know if you really know how much courage it took to do what she did, to be the only one, to be the first to integrate a school, and the amount of courage that her family had to have, because you hear about her. But you don't hear about is her mom and dad, and I guarantee you, you have parents that love you. I guarantee you they were so fearful for her to take that step. Because in the movie that I watched, she said to them that she wasn't afraid. And in this day and age, it's rare that you find that kind of courage when it's you against the world. To pick what you picked, Ruby Bridges, that's powerful, because I know both of you young ladies, and I know you're strong. So you picked a good role model to follow. What made you want to pick Ruby Bridges?
I wanted to pick Ruby Bridges because it was amazing to see how she could get into an all-white school. Other people probably have tried that and they just couldn't make it, but she did. And even though they gave her a test for everyone to fail, like all the Black kids, but she passed it. That was very amazing.
And that alone, Miracle, is just like you're set up for you to fail and you don't fail. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Does somebody tell you, as soon as you put your pencil to this paper, it's over for you, and you pass it? I mean, as a parent, I would be elated. But as a kid, I mean, growing up in the South in them days, listen, they didn't care if you were male or female. If they wanted something bad to happen to you, it would happen. So you got to remember that she's just more than a church bearer. She's a bridge connector. She's definitely a powerful lady. Then to pick this, that's why I said I'm glad that you did. What did you learn about her, though?
Well, I've never really read up onto her, you know? When you think of Black History Month, people always go for the thing that everyone goes for, like Harriet Tubman or Martin Luther King Jr. This was definitely something different for me.
I think I've picked Garrett Morgan. He was the first one that did the blood plasma. But here's a kicker for him is he invented the blood transfusion, the bowl. They call it the blood bowl. He got in a car wreck, and guess what happened? They wouldn't give him a blood transfusion, and this is the man who invented it, and he died. So think about that. He invented the gas mask, the stoplight, the blood bowl. Like, do you understand? Like, for him to have something he invented not save his life because he was Black, Think about that, you know, so I didn't pick the Harriet Tubmans or the Frederick Douglass either. I wanted to find something that was a little bit different, like you guys did. This is amazing. I mean, that picture right there with her walking with the FBI agents and the federal, look, to me, that's alone. If I was a parent, I'd be terrified. Are they going to hurt my baby? Is something going to happen to my baby walking into this school? And you know how many questions their parents had to have to them people? And you have to put your faith in something that you can't even see that she stays protected. Because I see you got courage here, and I see you got brave, an activist and speaker. How much courage do you think it took?
I mean, a lot. Honestly, I would be terrified to walk into a school full of people who aren't like me. It's like, you want to stand out sometimes, but it can also be terrifying.
What do you think? How much courage?
I think a lot. I probably wouldn't do it. Why? Because I'd be scared for people just to be people. They don't like me. They throwing stuff at me. They talking about me. I wouldn't have patience.
Right. I mean, she set the precedence for every kid that came after her. When I say she was a torchbearer, she is. Where you are now in Aliquippa, like, remember, Aliquippa 60% white, 40% black. And back in the day, they had 12 schools in Aliquippa. 12 schools. And they segregated you by ethnicity and by race. And where you lived on each plan dictated where school you went to. So sometimes you may went all white, sometimes you may went all black, or you had a mix in certain areas. So you just imagine that, man. Just how much courage it had to take. What else did you like about her, though?
I like that when she grew up, she had a Ruby Bridges Foundation.
And that's education. You can only dunk a basketball so much. You can only catch touchdowns so much. But your mind, you have that forever. Her foundation speaks to that. Education is the key.
I mean, she went for it. She knew what she was getting into. She set her mind to it. She wanted to be black and educated. And that's what she did.
What do you think the teacher's thinking? Because she's the only one in the room with her. What do you think the teacher's thinking?
Before we, like, saw her after story, I thought the teacher was probably just like, I don't even want to be here. There's only one kid in my class. And then when we read up on her, her teacher said that she was so proud of her, accomplishing her goals when she got older.
Then think about it. You don't know how she felt. But at the end, guess what happened? Love always prevails. Something about her made her love her. To let you know that as long as you can touch somebody's heart, they'll come alongside you if they believe in you.
Thank you, Mayor Walker, for joining us here today to speak about Ruby Bridges. Is there anything else you would like to say?
I want to thank you both, Miracle and Tatiana. I appreciate you having invited me. I appreciate you picking Ruby Bridges. I appreciate you stepping out the box and just wanting to do something different instead of the normal. You picked a person that emulates you both, and I can say that honestly. You say you'll be afraid, Miracle, but I doubt it. When the lights are brightest, you shine. You too, Miss Ruff. Your DNA don't say that. Neither one of y'all DNA say y'all back down. You might need some help, and that's where we come in. Parents and your family come in. We'll help you. But y'all all right.
Now, The Electric Army with a song entitled Extinct.
Quarter. moaning in the corner, moaning in the corner. We were sitting in the corner, moaning in the corner. We were sitting in the corner, moaning in the corner. We were sitting in the corner.
On our last segment, Montour High School twins Tiana and Tiana talk about living in St. Croix of the U.S. Virgin Islands.
St. Croix is located like right below Florida, and it's in that little small cluster they call the Caribbean that's like Puerto Rico, St. John, St. Lucia, and St. Thomas.
Well, how long did you stay there? Did you grow up there, or how did that...
We grew up there until we were, like, 9 to 7.
Okay. What were your, like, first memories?
Like, mostly the beach and all of that. And, like, the different types of cultures that is mixed into there, because it's very, like, it's very rich in culture.
What's one of the biggest differences that you know of from what you remember between, like, there and here?
Well, down there is more Black and Hispanics than whites. So right. That was one of the biggest ones out of all.
Was school different?
Yeah, it was kind of an outside school than an inside school. And it's more fast-paced, like at third grade. Mm-hmm. We were learning at fifth grade level here.
So you were, because I remember in kindergarten, that has nothing to do with fifth grade. All I remember in kindergarten, we were doing like times tables. Did you guys learn that? Preschool, like 1 year old type thing, or like
we learn most of the stuff like very early.
That's cool. Like, that's what languages do you speak? Any, how many languages do you speak?
I say I speak like 3. Well, but like one isn't technically a language, but it's like their dialect down there, so I'd say it's a language.
Were there like any traditions that you did there that you brought to the well here?
Not really, because in St. Croix, it's not a whole tradition. It's just, like, different cultures that practice their own separate traditions. And then other people would join in if they want or not. They have agriculture fair, which is, like, it has mukajumbis. They have the people that dresses up in those. You see how, like, Trinidadian carnivals, they wear the flowery with the stuff in the back. They have people dressed up in that. Well, mukajumbis are stilt walkers. There are spirits in Caribbean culture. That's what they call it, mukajumbis, and that's about it. And they have, like, culture food from different cultures.
What was the food like? Well, what was the food compared to here? Like, was it better than here? Probably, but I just want to know.
I would say it's better.
Yeah.
My favorite food is basa sop and roti. It's a Trinidadian food mixed with Indian. And it's, like, typical Indian roti with a naan-type bread. It's very, like, sticky and, like, you can pull it apart, pick up the meat and eat it up.
Sounds really good.
Can you talk about the community, Montour? You came into Montour. Can you talk about the difference between that and the Virgin Islands?
I'd say, like, mannerism and how they accept people, because in St. Croix, everybody knows everybody because it's a very like kind of small area, and somebody knows your parents, somebody knows your uncle or something. But like here, if like someone catches you staring at them, they obviously want to fight. But if you're staring at somebody down there, you nod your head in like respect and you said good morning, good afternoon, good night. But they're ready to fight you here. And like Montour, they're not very open to different people, so it was like very hard.
What did you do to like overcome the initial shock of the different customs here?
I most likely read and kind of was oblivious to it. I didn't realize it until like when I got older that they weren't really open to like different people.
Do people ask you like a lot about where you're from, like in school or like anything about St. Croix, like in school?
They do, but they ask like very like
stupid questions,
like mundane questions, like do you guys have water? Do you guys have cellular data? Or like all these kind of questions. Like obviously we have it.
So pretty much just assuming because of a basic area and a basic stereotype that it's the same everywhere outside of the United States.
Basically, yeah.
What do you have to say to educate those people who are just? They don't know what they're talking about.
They're just oblivious.
Yeah.
I would basically say, look it up yourself. Like, it's obviously we have those stuff because those are typical natural rights people have. I kind of want to leave Pittsburgh and go somewhere, like, warmer or, like, culturally rich. But then, like, my mom stays here, so I kind of, like, want to kind of stay here, too.
I want to stay here, but more in the city or, like, go to Philly or Florida.
It's an easy place to make friends because there are other people that's from out of the United States. And then we could relate on stuff that's cultural because they share the same food and all of that. And it's good that, like, we're the only people that's from St. Croix. So, yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org.